Welcome to Season 5 of the Raise Your Game Show, a podcast that deconstructs the principles of high performance in sports and business. I'm your host, Alan Stein Jr. In this season, I'm going to interview a brilliant, an innovative source of unparalleled knowledge, someone with experience, wisdom, and insight well beyond his years, someone that is truly an internationally renowned icon in both sports and business.
I believe you've met my fitness consigliere, Michel.
Allow myself to introduce myself.
Yes, you heard that correctly. I am going to ask myself some thought-provoking and pivotal questions, and then answer them with the unmatched astuteness and profound awareness that only I can. To make sure my responses to my own questions are sincerely spontaneous, I did not share the questions with myself in advance. The knowledge I drop to my own questions will be raw and unrehearsed.
I know you. You know you. And I know you know that I know you.
I hope that me, interviewing myself, helps you raise your game. Speaking of raising games, every middle school, high school, and college student athlete on the planet needs a game plan to maximize their potential on and off the court. Check out the new online course parents, coaches, and athletes themselves are raving about at makeyourgameplan.com. That's makeyourgameplan.com.
Booyakasha, check this out, yo.
And now, on with the show.
How do you coach during these very uncertain times? You know, I think as leaders, the behavior that we model first and foremost is what our players see and is what our players are going to do. So, you know, when I'm talking about ways of leading with optimism and leading with poise during times of adversity, you know, when your kids see you doing that, virtually or in person, that's eventually what they're going to do. You know, a team will always take the same shape as its coach. You know, if you all are enthusiastic and supportive and empathetic and you're great listeners, and, you know, then you're going to create that type of culture because you're living out the values and the expectations of everybody else. So one of the ways that you undermine yourself as a coach is having this mindset of do as I say, not as I do. So I think if you think it's something that's important for your players, then it needs to be something that's important to you by default. One mantra that I live by that is even more important during this quarantine period is this mindset of my goal is always to do the best I can with what I have, where I am. And with that said, there's a trilogy of things that I work hard to eliminate in my life. I work hard to eliminate blaming other people. I work hard to eliminate making excuses, and I work hard to eliminate complaining. I think as coaches, if we can get rid of blaming, making excuses, and complaining, and most importantly, get our players to do the same, it's almost as if a weight vest is taken off your shoulders. You become lighter immediately. Performance goes through the roof. You know, when you hold yourself to extreme ownership and you hold yourself fully responsible and accountable for everything that you do, not only will performance go up, but so will happiness and fulfillment. So as I mentioned, it's do the best you can. Most people are aware of that part, with what you have right now in this moment. And that's where I think can be really challenging for both coaches and players during this quarantine period, because we all feel so handcuffed. You know, with the exception of Manny, who apparently has got a court and a ball and shooting all sorts of layups, most of us don't have access to that stuff. You know, we have players that don't have access to a hoop right now or don't have access to a ball. And they might be, you know, they're dying to get better. They want to improve, but they feel restrained. And it's our job as coaches to let them know, hey, there's going to be certain things that you might not be able to work on right now, but you can still do the best you can with what you have where you are. So if you can't work on shooting because you don't have a hoop or a ball, you can still work on your basketball IQ. Maybe you send them some clips of college and NBA players that play a similar position to them and ask them to study some of their movements. They can still work on their bodies. You know, they can do body weight stuff for their own fitness and strength. They can make sure they're getting plenty of sleep and hydrating and eating well so that, you know, again, they're taking care of their physical bodies. They can work on being a great teammate and work on their leadership and communication skills. So what it takes to be an exceptional basketball player and what it takes to be an exceptional coach is very holistic. It's not just X's and O's. You know, it's X's and O's. It's emotional intelligence. It's how you relate. It's leadership. It's communication. It's the hodgepodge of a variety of different skills. And while not all of us can work on every skill at present, we need to focus on the ones that we can and see if we can make improvement there. And just this mindset of ownership, you know, when you have the tendency and the default to blame other people, to make excuses and to complain, those are really just forms of selfishness. Because what you're doing is you're taking responsibility off of yourself and you're placing it on someone else. And that by definition is selfish. And as all you coaches know, I know I'm preaching to the choir, you know, any type of selfishness eventually is going to be a cancer that will erode the fabric and culture of the program. There's nothing wrong with kids being self-driven. There's nothing wrong with kids wanting to have personal accolades and have personal goals, but all of that stuff needs to be done within the confines of the team and the confines of the program. You know, I would want to coach a kid that wants to be an all-county player or an all-state player. I mean, that's great. I want a kid, you know, that wants to you know, set certain records for the school. That's great, as long as what they're doing works within what the team is doing. As soon as what they're doing is going counterculture or zigging and zagging against what the team wants, that's when it becomes a very deadly type of selfishness. So these are all seeds and things that we can plant with players now. I think now is an opportune time for coaches to deepen their personal relationships with every player. So I'm not implying that you need to make 15 separate Zoom calls every night and have a 30-minute chat with each player, but I would hope at least once a week you can connect with each one of your players individually for a handful of minutes, preferably on a video call, but if not, by some other form, because now is such an awesome time to deepen those connections. And one thing I learned at my time in coaching was, if you connect first and you coach second, if you do it in that order, one, you'll get so much more out of your players. You know, they need to know intuitively that you care about them as a human being first and as a basketball player second. And the only way they'll know that is if you show them that, if you show them that you care. You know, when you do chat with your team, you know, ask them how they're doing, how they're coping, how is their family. And these can't be kind of the drive-bys that everybody does, you know, when you walk by somebody in a hallway, hey, how you doing? And you just keep walking. You don't even hear their answer. You just keep walking because that's supposed to be, you know, a socially acceptable pleasantry to greet someone. But that's not okay for now. I mean, you really need to dive into your players and find out, how are they doing? How are they coping with this? You know, are they upset that March Madness was canceled that they didn't get to watch? Or are they upset that the NBA is not currently going on? You know, did any of them play a spring sport that got canceled? You know, just really find out how they're doing and then try to meet them where they are. You know, try to figure out what's the best thing you can offer them to support them and encourage them. And it's not always a rah-rah session. You know, it's not always a, you know, just smile, everything's fine, we're going to get through this, don't worry. That works for some people, but it doesn't work for everyone. And that's why when you have a team of, let's say, 15, you know, you can pretty much bet you've got one or two players right now that are sad, worried, anxious, depressed, upset. You've probably got one or two players that are actually optimistic. They're feeling great. They're you know, they're in high spirits. And then you've got most of the kids, which will be somewhere in between. And it's our job as coaches is to really figure out where on the spectrum each player is and do what we can to pour into them so that, you know, they'll be able to make some improvement. And that leads to this concept of being prepared for when things do come back to some sense of normalcy. You know, the pendulum swung about 8 weeks ago, flipped all of our lives upside down. It was a major pattern interrupt. And basically said, okay, everybody, you will be staying at home and working from home and working remotely. And we all had to start to adjust to a new normal and get used to these new confines and handcuffs that we'd been given. And, you know, 8 weeks later, I think most people are adjusting pretty well. But just know that pendulum's going to swing back in the other direction Now, I don't know when. It could be in a few weeks, could be in a few months, who knows? But at some point, it's going to swing in the other direction. And want to make sure as coaches and our players are preparing for that, not waiting for that. You know, that's one of the biggest distinctions I would always talk about with players. You know, if I came to any one of your practices 30 minutes before practice, I could put every single player into one of two categories. You'll have players that are just waiting for you to blow the whistle and start practice. And you have players that are preparing for you to blow the whistle and start practice. And obviously, we want players that are preparing. And we as coaches need to be preparing for when we can get back to normal. And we need to be leading our players to do the same. You know, a player that's waiting for practice to start, doesn't have his shoes tied. He's kind of just lobbying around, throwing up hook shots, maybe checking his phone, talking to a couple girls in the hallway. And, you know, 40 seconds before you're going to start practice, we'll tuck in his shirt, tie his shoes, and be ready to go. Then you have other players that are 30 minutes before practice, they're already in a full lather of sweat. They've already been doing some type of warm-up or form shooting or some type of footwork. Maybe they're watching film on their iPad. I mean, they're getting their minds and their bodies right so that the moment you blow that whistle, they are ready to compete. They don't need any additional warm-up. They are ready to go. And I think we need to model that in the way that we behave, you know, from a coaching standpoint. And it doesn't mean that you need to be in the gym in a lather, sweating, going, you know, working on your footwork or your two different types of layups. But what you do need to be doing is making sure that you are prepared, making sure that you have an itemized minute-by-minute practice plan, making sure that the gym is set up with everything that you need. You know, you've got your basketballs in the cage. You've got your water set up. If somebody's going to be working the score clock, you've got that ready. All of the baskets are down. The floor has been swept. I mean, it is ready to start. You might even be in there rebounding for some of the kids that decided to come in early and prepare for practice. And when you do those types of things, you show them that you are prepared and ready to start. And then by default, that's what you expect of them. So this concept of waiting and preparing is really, really important.
Thanks, Alan. I really and truly appreciate you making time in your very busy schedule to speak with yourself. Well, that's it for me. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure to join the conversation at Alan Stein Jr. on all major social platforms. Go to alansteinjr.com to subscribe to my full timeout, 30-second timeout, and overtime monthly emails, and check out makeyourgameplan.com. I look forward to helping you raise your game.